You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Thursday, the 27th of July, 2023. I'm David McJimsey. I'm very delighted you could join us tonight. Tonight's show, I've got some notes here, says I'm going to have to go to. We are going to be talking to not one, not two, but three returning Belfast Giants. We'll be explaining our latest fundraising efforts. We're going to be talking to the King's own favourite hockey player. And if we've time, we'll maybe announce the latest addition to Adam Keith's roster, maybe even get him on the line if we can. But first, before I go any further, Simon Kitchen, the man, the myth, the legend, welcome along.
Hello, David.
How's your summer going, mate?
It's going too fast. It's flying. It really is. We're talking about it today, and it literally is disappearing since, you know, the Ukraine game back in April, which just seems like a couple of weeks ago. It's just really is flying in, and you know, it's just a few weeks away before the boys start coming in, and there's a few of them here already actually. But the majority of them start coming in a couple of weeks time, and it's the time's just getting away. First 29 days, 29 more sleeps their first game against the Cardiff Devils in the friendly game. So it's time is ticking away for sure, very fast.
I don't know if I can do this, but let's see if I can. No, I can't. I was going to try and share some. Paddy makes this. So the biggest problem is, and I have to apologize to everybody that's watching, but Paddy makes this so easy. And he does all this stuff. There's how you do it. I've just found out.
It's like,
how you
do it. It's like we're on work experience.
I've just found out how you do some stuff there. But here, Simon, while we're waiting on our first guest coming in, I don't know if you can see that or not, but there's the roster as it sits for the Belfast Giants. We've had a few announcements since we last had a show on the 27th of June, exactly a month ago today. And in nets, between the pipes, Tyler Besker and Andrew Dixon, who obviously has been announced in the last month, Jackson Whistle making the threesome in nets up there, Jeff Baum, Travis Bryan, Jacob Friend, everybody's favourite guitar playing hero, Mark Garside, Miles Jendron, Davey Phillips and Josh Roach on the back end, and joined up front by Elijah Bariga. Mark Cooper, Oliver Cooper, Ben Lake, Kieran Long, Matt McLeod. Congratulations, Kieran Long. Our scene today, 20 weeks. Only another 20 to go before he's going to be a daddy. Matt McLeod, Aaron Nazarian, Sean Norris, Quinn Preston, Kohei Sato, and Daniel Tedesco. The Belfast Giants roster shaping up nicely there, Simon.
It is for sure. You know, I see how hard the coaches are working. They're meeting three or four times a week here, more or less all the way through the summer, apart from when they're on holiday. And it's good to see that. You know, Adam got a chance to get away there for the first time in quite a few years, and Steve's away at the minute as well. Which again, he you know, he never stops. Even when he's away, we're still getting texts, we're still getting emails. We just wish he would switch off and spend a bit of time away and enjoying himself. So he's away to North America to see family and friends for the first time in quite a while as well. So, but you know what, Davey, I'm really excited. You know, it's going to be very, very tough to do what we did last year. But, you know, that's the target. You know, the three trophies last year, we set out every single year to win everything. And it might sound arrogant, it might sound overconfidence, but Sheffield Steelers, Cardiff Devils, Nottingham Panthers, you know, they all set out exactly the same way. I don't want to, you know, diminish the prospects or the targets set out by Nottingham, Manchester and Dundee and the likes. But, you know, our target is to win three trophies. And that's exactly what this roster has been put together for. So hopefully, as I say, we can get another addition or two or three or four or five. I've seen somebody saying they were putting seven more players onto it. We're the Belfast Giants. We'll do what we want. So we'll wait and see what happens.
So, Simon, we talked probably one of the final podcasts. I mean, every year, there's never been a roster that all comes back. Some guys go off to retirement, fortunately for, and some of them, you know, we talk about, we put guys in a shop window in Belfast to try and get them moves into Europe, and that's happened for some of them. Some of them go back to the States, some of them retire, some of them, you know, go on back into the real world. Is there anybody there, not returning guys, new guys, maybe one the back end up front that's jumping out at you that you think is going to be one to watch this season?
Do you know what? It's difficult to see. I mean, obviously we've seen what Daniel Tedesco can do when he was at Guildford last year. I'm really excited to see you know, him coming in here and see how he plays in a Belfast Giants uniform. I remember Kohei Sato when he was here with University of New Hampshire in 2018. Lightning quick, you know, we're looking forward to seeing what he has to offer. So all these guys that have been put together very, very delicately, if you want to put it that way. I know that Adam Mace, George Owada, Stewie and Steve have been through with them with a fine-tooth comb exactly what type of player they want to bring in here. Good people, good players. And yeah, it's certainly shaping up very, very nicely.
Simon, before I can see the green room here and we've already got our first guest awaiting. And, you know, so let's dive in with that. We've been very privileged over a number of years at AVFTB. We're able to use our whatever position you'd say we have to raise a lot of money for charity. And thank you to the Belfast Giants fans, because it's them that put their hands, along with ourselves, put their hands in their pockets to make things happen. But this year, we've got a brand new fundraiser going. And we're going to bring in your co-chief here to have a little chat about it. Hey, Smolzy. Welcome back, Dave.
Hello. Thank you so much. How's it going? How's your summer?
It's going very well, look.
Beautiful.
Having a pint of Pimm's. and the summer's here. That's it, mate. Let's talk about getting Blakey to Boston.
Okay, let's.
Simon, do you want to actually kick it off for Simon with a wee bit of
absolutely. Look, you touched on it, Davey. You know, you touched on a few seconds ago there that we've been very lucky to be able to help raise certain you know, fundraising efforts and what have you. There's the wee man himself. And look, we've. It's been a very difficult time for Blake and his family over the last few years. And we all love him, absolutely love him to bits. He's just a wee legend. And he's, for all the problems and challenges and all the difficulties that he's had to go through, I have never once heard him complain, never. And we're very lucky that we're in a position where we're going to try and raise as much funds as possible to get him and his family a visit of a lifetime. These things don't come along very often. And you know, it's an idea that was floated about a while ago. And when we spoke to you, David, you thought it was absolutely superb and, you know, jumped in with 2 feet to see what we can help with. It's one of those things where you just don't know how many chances that are left for Blake to get away. The last time that I knew, we went to the Challenge Cup final in 2016, and I remember Laura still got a photograph of me and him in the car park at a service station somewhere along the M4, I want to say. It's the road down to you, isn't it, Davey, from London?
It is.
Yep. M4. So we were caught on there. We were going back to I think it was Luton Airport, because that's the year that the snow came at the start of March, and it were really difficult to get there, but we managed to get there. And that's the last time that Blake was on a passenger plane. Everything since then has been on a on an air ambulance, or a, I think that's what they call them, you know, air ambulance to get him wherever he needs to go. And having spent probably the guts of 3 years of the last five in hospital, it's not far off that anyway. I know he was 8 months in Great Ormond Street, and you know, Christine, was, his mum was there the whole time with him as well. I just feel that we are very, very lucky to be in this position to be able to help. And Adam, you know, Adam himself did a wee video last week, and it sort of just hit home that, and I have two daughters, David, you've got the same, and it's, you know, I've absolutely no idea how I'd react if it was told, and it was, I've had to go through what Christine and Andy and Neil and Pixie have to do every single day for Blake. And again, the wee man doesn't complain. And on top of that, don't get me wrong, there's an awful lot of other things that we've done throughout the years. I mean, right the whole way back to Tom Smith, or Tom Simpson in 2013, 14, Laura, around about that?
15.
15, you know, it's 8 years ago we helped Tom. And you know, Tom, at that stage, Laura, I didn't actually know this. Laura was telling me, I think it was yesterday, that Tom's outlook then really wasn't very good. He had over 300 blood transfusions, just, and then leading up, they had his operation. And I seen him at the last game at the season, and it's two completely different people. You know, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but the color of his skin before he got the operation was, it's night and day to see him now, and it's brilliant that that's been the case. And there's so many other kids that we've helped along the way, but this is probably ultimately our biggest one we've done so far, and I think it's thoroughly deserved.
Well, Laura, I'm going to let you jump in and add your toppings worth. Explain to people how they can get involved. I'm just going to put something up on the screen for tonight's show especially. So let us know how you can get involved in helping Blake to Boston.
I'm just going to circle back to a couple of things that Simon was saying about Blake. It goes for all our kids. I think people forget maybe how sick they really are. They see them at the hockey, they see them cheering and having fun, but you've no idea what their lives are actually like. And it goes for Dahi, for Ethan, and what their families' lives are like. Like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and something goes wrong, and that's not a one-off. Like, your kid might be sick once or twice a year in the middle of the night. This is all the time for those kids. And Blake can't eat or drink. I cannot imagine not being able to eat or drink. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love my food, like, massively. I mean, if you went for dinner, I want to know where you went. I want to know what you ate and who you were with and what they ate. I cannot imagine, like, a very basic thing like eating, not being able to do that. And like Simon says, he doesn't complain, but that's the same for all of our kids. They're just built from a different material than us. They're just something else. And I've said it before, we can all learn such a lesson for them on how to value life and appreciate what we have. But I'll not give a lecture on that right now. How can you get involved? Lots of different things, and I will take tangents off, so apologies in advance. First of all, we are raffling off a trip. The trip is primarily two flights. It will be, some restrictions will apply, but you'll be able to go from Dublin if you win. If you're on the mainland, you can go from Liverpool, Manchester, wherever you want to go from. It'll be Boston for 3 nights and then 2 tickets to a Bruins game. Again, there will be some restrictions before anyone comes for me later on. If that is not, it isn't just for hockey fans, though. I have to keep telling this to people. If you don't want to go to the Bruins game, no problem. I will change those tickets to an extra night in Boston. Not a bother. So encourage your people who couldn't care less about ice hockey to enter the raffle anyway, and I will swap it out for them. Also, if you're in North America and you want to get involved, we will reverse the prize. We will pay for you to come to Belfast and come to a Giants game instead of an NHL game. No problem. Like, we will work with anyone who wins it to get it to what they kind of will work for them best. So if it's putting them off that they think it's only going to go from Dublin or whatever, it's not. We're going to work with people to get them the easiest thing that they can. So you can do that. Join, buy a raffle ticket through raffle. The other thing you can do, if you just couldn't care less about going on a trip or whatever, that's not your thing, you can just donate money. That sounds very cursed, but that's the bottom line. At the GoFundMe link. It's all over the Giant social. It's on Even the Bridge social. It's probably on every one of us, our socials. I know it's a tough time for everybody, and I get it. Not everybody has money to spare, and that's absolutely fine. I would ask you, if you cannot donate, just to share the information, share the links, because you don't know, someone on your socials might be willing to donate or want to enter the competition. So through raffle, through GoFundMe, or just simply from sharing the information.
Simon is so into it, he's actually painted the QR code on his kitchen wall behind him there. So if you're wanting, just hold your smartphone up, scan that, it'll take you straight to raffle. You can buy your ticket right now while we're on the air. So get involved is pretty much what we're saying, Laura. Sure, join in, do whatever you can, but we're going to do everything we can to get Boston, Blakey in Boston this winter.
Hopefully so. Yeah, it's exciting. It'll be such an experience for him. Like right now, he has to really lie flat or at an angle for about 95% of the day. So that doesn't leave you too many options for things. And yes, he does get about. He's not, like, he can't lie in his wheelchair at that angle, because when he sits up for too long, he gets a bowel obstruction. I mean, that's pretty grim. So it'll be something for him to really, really look forward to. And not just for Blake. I mean, his whole family have to make sacrifices. And I don't mean for him in a negative way, but like Christine spent years in hospital. And as all our sick kids, like parents will know, it's brutal. There's no bed. Sometimes it's a chair that you sleep in. Sometimes there is the bed, a chair pulls into some sort of bed. And that's okay for one or two nights. It's not okay for years on a time. It's grim. It's really grim. And for them, and like Pixie misses out time with Christine, time with Blake. They all miss out as a family. And again, it's the same for all our sick kids. So it'll be extra special that they all get to go together and try and make some memories that they've missed out on over the years, really.
Well, Smallsy, we're going to have to press on with the rest of the show, but thank you very much for joining us tonight. And
nice time, gents. Thanks for everything you do.
See you later, kid.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before we go on, okay, a massive, massive thanks to the Odyssey Trust. They put up £1,000 donation, which is just phenomenal. It's fantastic. And Love Belfast. As soon as they heard about it, I got a call from Andrew Donaldson and Inga. I love Belfast, and they're doing exactly the same. So we really appreciate all their support. As I say, we understand that, you know, not everybody has, you know, any spare cash to basically put into it. But it's about sharing any post that you see. Even if you put it onto your social media and you can't afford anything, you're helping us by spreading the word. And the more people that find out about it, the better chance there is of raising those extra pennies. And as Tesco say, every little helps. So with everybody that's donated so far and everybody that's bought a raffle ticket so far, we really, really appreciate all your support. I know that Blake and his family will really appreciate it too. And as I say, we just don't know how many chances that we're going to get to do something like this. So we're very lucky at AVF TV that we're in the position to try and help. And you know what, Davey, as I say, I think about it all the time, and I love the wee man, the bits, and you just don't know what's around the corner for him. And I mean, we heard about wee Di the other day, and he's back over in Newcastle, and he had a little operation to hopefully help his chances down the line as well. And you know, Marshane and Seth as well. And then you're talking about young Ethan and Andy and Yvette and you know, even like Adam McElrath's going through a bit of a challenge at the minute as well, and I've seen something up for him. And again, if you can't donate to that, to Blakey, please help out Adam as well. All these little challenges that the kids that we have that they've been over with us for over the years has been absolutely phenomenal, and the support that you guys give from the fan base, not just Belfast Giants fans, by the way, right the whole way across the Elite League, has been it's nothing short of phenomenal. So thank you very, very much.
Right, Simon, let's get on with the hockey. I'm pretty excited about this one because, like, call him an MVP, call him whatever you want. This guy scored the last goal of the Grand Slam season, and I, for one, am absolutely delighted to have him back in Teal. Welcome back to A Few from the Bridge, Coops.
Hey, Davey, how's it going? Kitchy?
Not too bad, Coops.
Yeah.
Coops, I spoke to you Not the end of the season just passed. The end of the season before, when you were debating hanging the skates up forever, and says, please, go away over the summer and think about it. Don't make a knee-jerk reaction. You're too young. Managed to, it wasn't anything to do with me, but you came back, had another season. Said the same thing at the end of last season. Guys, don't retire. You're too young. The real world sucks, and it lasts forever. And again, here you are, back in tail for another season, another go at it.
Yeah, I was really conflicted at the end of last year. Just leaving on a high would be obviously a great thing, but I just coming home and then thinking about retiring, interviewing for jobs, it just didn't feel right. And then so I had some chats with my girlfriend and family, and we thought Belfast is it's felt like home for the past 2 years, and why not pursue that and come back, and just really excited to be back.
as you say, Coops, it's actually quite a difficult position, and a lot of guys have moved on and a few have retired. You kind of hit the high as much as, you know, elite league hockey. You won the lot, you play in the Champions League. Kind of there is a question mark there, the tackle over the summer. What am I coming back to try and achieve?
Yeah, no, I we won 5 out of 6 trophies the last 2 years, and we've been a great team. But each year was a different storyline. Like last year, we had to kind of dig our way out of a big hole, and and then a bunch of roster changes, and then year one, 2 years ago, we just had the same roster and kind of stuck around and got hot and beat the right teams at the right moment. So I think you chase like experiences and the process, and this year will be much different than the past two, but hopefully the same, and that we have 3 trophies at the end. But the road traveled will be a lot different, and it's exciting, and getting to play hockey for your job is pretty fun. So and being around the guys all the time, it's a great experience. And then the city of Belfast has been incredible and so welcoming. It's a different storyline, and just new bodies, and hopefully we can show them what Belfast is all about.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Simon. How you doing?
I'm okay, mate. How are you?
Good.
Firstly, you owe me £3 for a crossbar challenge last season.
I know.
We'll carry that forward.
Yeah, we'll roll it over. Hopefully it'll be I've been practicing this summer, so.
Yeah, well, I haven't, but I don't need to practice. Anyway, where are you now?
I'm actually heading up north to a cottage this weekend. I left this afternoon. I stopped on the way to grab a bite and then talk to you guys, which it's a nice little stop.
Good man. You talk about last season, and you talk about digging yourself out of a hole. Obviously, you're talking about mid-November and the start of December when we lost two games against Manchester. But is there a pivotal moment from last year that you literally just went, you know what, this is what we need to do, and break it down into maybe sections of 5 games at a time? But is there a pivotal moment that is in your mind from last year?
Not one moment, but I remember coming back from international break. Guildford had a big lead on us. And I think we went in there, we played Nottingham, and then we won, and then we went to Guildford the next night, and I think we kind of took it to them. And they had beaten us, I think, the 3 games before that in the year, and we knew they were the real deal. But when we took it to them, I think that gave us a little sense of belief, and kind of like, we can do this. Like, we'll obviously need some help with some other teams beating the teams ahead of us, but I think if we can kind of control our own destiny and just stay in our lane and play our game, we'll be right there at the end. And then took us to the second last game, and we don't want to talk about the last one.
No, we're going to skip over that very quickly.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the last game of the season. The year before, I remember standing right beside Davey when he was telling you, you know, obviously we got beat by Cardiff. I can't remember the score, 6-2, 6-3, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And 2021, and they played. They were a good team. They played really well that night. But this past April, when we managed to get the third trophy of the season in the bag, and that big win against the Cardiff Devils. I remember you telling me after the game that, you know, when you were skating down on the empty net, the puck was bobbling. You couldn't see it on TV. I watched it back numerous times, but you said you'd never felt the puck move about as much. and you know, basically you're only 20 feet away from the empty net, but you thought you might miss.
Yeah, no, I had chipped it out, and then I think Laker made a good play on the wall. So the puck was bobbling, and then late in the game, the ice isn't great. And I was just like, I can't miss this one. This is too big of a moment. So I wanted to like get as close as possible and settle the puck, but the puck never settled, but I got close enough where I thought I could just tap it in. But sometimes empty netters are more nervous. There's too much time to think. The backdoor one-timers are, they're easy. There's no time to think. And I had about 5 seconds to think about that one going up the ice. So it was nerve-wracking, but what a relief at the end of there, and the excitement then began.
The excitement where we were was something else. Sizz never punched me as hard in my life. He's like, I had the league trophy and the Challenge Cup trophy in the van out the back arena. I went, go and get them. And I was out the van and back before the game had even finished. Like, it was such a still sore. But I want to ask you, because I can still, like, obviously very, very little to do with that. I don't play hockey. But the pain of that previous year, I can still feel how sore it was to lose that final. Although you go through the whole season, it's like a 54 league season, and it's the big prize to win, and we've won the Challenge Cup, and we've won the league. Getting that empty net goal, is that like the maximum high? Is that like the elation of winning that? Does it erase the pain? Because when Simon talked about losing the Challenge Cup final, it actually physically hurts still.
Can you guys still hear me? My
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was an extreme high. That goal, didn't matter who scored it, but I think Donnie's goal too. And then Steve Ourie's goal, we kind of took it to them in the third. It was kind of crucial to us. And, but the ultimate high is like in hockey, you grow up trying to win the last game of the season, and we won the last game there. So that was a huge win, and I'll forever remember that season and that game.
I know that there'll be guys on the bench, and you've got George, and you've got Stewie and Adam, and this season obviously Mace, and there'll be people that are keeping it cool. But like, we were up in the box there, and it was tense, and it was Josh Roach came in and went like, everybody calm down, we've got this. And so it played out that way. As soon as we got that one goal, High Glove and Ben Bynes, the sort of ice tilted, and we went on and won it well. But Coops, enjoy your weekend at the cottage. Thanks very much for taking the time to come in on us. We're going to have to move on with the rest of the show, but looking forward to getting you back in Belfast and getting a big hug with you soon.
He's gone.
Oh, can you hear me?
We can hear you, but we're going to motor on.
I don't know what's going on with my service.
Sizz can text you that message. We'll speak to you later. Lots of love to mum and dad as well, so see you soon. All right, there we go. We'll just you can text him, tell him he's asking about Randy, and I've got a hug waiting for him. But Simon, no point waiting any further. Brilliant to have Coops back. Brilliant to have all those guys. But we're very fortunate that we're going to take a little bit of a moment now to announce a new player to Belfast Roster. As people have been asking on the Twitter all day, the name of the show, Smell You Later, what's it all about? Well, see if this works, Sam. Don't know how to get rid of that now. We really need Paddy. But absolutely delighted to be joined on this week's A View from the Bridge by latest signing to the Belfast Giants, Greg Prince. Greg, welcome along.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Great to be a part of the Teal Army.
Greg, while I try and get rid of you, the rest of your picture on the screen here, Give us a little bit of background. How did obviously Adam Keefe reached out over the last number of weeks and you spoke and got a contract done?
Yeah, I talked to Coach Kiefer last week. He sold me to the idea of coming over to Europe and playing for Belfast Giants, and everything I heard was positive. Talked to some of the guys. Talked to Scott Conway a little bit. He gave Belfast really good reviews. Talked to Jeff Baum. I went to school with him as well. So just heard nothing but good things and can't wait to get started.
You're another one off what has been for Belfast a fantastic tournament. The Friendship Four, you came in, I think maybe your freshman year you came here. You've referenced Scott Conway, you've referenced Jeff Baum, current and past Belfast Giants. There's a couple of other guys within the league from that province as well. Fond memories of that sort of week in Belfast, and was there any factor at all there in you coming back to the organization?
Yeah, definitely. It was just a great week in general. I mean, they treated us like we were just coming in. We were just random college teams coming in, and it was a first-class organization just from that 1 week when we were here. So obviously I know how well they treat outsiders, so I can't imagine how well they treat people on the inside. So it's definitely something I'm really looking forward to, and Belfast was great for the week, so I can't wait to get out there and explore it even more.
Greg, I was talking to you on WhatsApp over the last couple of days, and you know, I was speaking to Collins last week, and he was telling me, you know, what sort of player you are. But can you let the Teal Army what you think they can expect coming into Belfast this year?
Yeah, I'm a two-way player. I like to play hard, do whatever it takes to help the team win. I enjoy scoring big goals, enjoy scoring a lot of goals. So hopefully that'll be something I can show you guys. But just playing a hard 200-foot game, making sure I'm doing everything that the team needs and everything to help the team win.
AHL, hockey for the last couple of years. You know, obviously, when you're playing the NHL, the prospect that you really want to try and get that next step, the NHL. But you know that the ECHL really isn't far away as well. How difficult is it to get the mindset to play at that level?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely you're really competing for your job every single night. There's people, like, obviously you're close to the guys on your team, but there's people gunning for your spot left and right, whether it be guys that get sent down from the NHL or guys get called up from the ECHL. So you're kind of, you're always on edge a little bit. You show up to the rink, you never know who's going to be there or who's going to get called up or sent down. So there's definitely a lot of unknown, and it's definitely a hard league to play in, but once you get accustomed to it, you get used to it. But I think it'll be nice to get a little bit change and see how different leagues are.
When we look at the NCAA teams that have been to Belfast now, there's been 19 different teams that have been in Belfast over the last 6 years, and obviously we've missed out for COVID. Unfortunately, we're not having it this year, but we're really looking forward to 2024. But how important has Coach Lehman been to you? Because we talked about it before with Collins and Bomber, you know, and you know, he's a really, really good coach. Obviously, he's been in Providence a long time, but he's also coached at the World Junior level with the USA. How important was he for you?
Yeah, he was huge. I chose Providence for reasons. I chose him for Nate Lehman and because they win. Those are definitely two big reasons. But Nate, he's one of the best coaches I've ever played for. He's a pro coach in a college environment, so that really helps the players develop and helps you get to the next level. I credit all my success at Providence and getting to be able to play pro and be in the position I am to him. Without him, I don't know where my career would have took me, but he was very instrumental in helping me get to the pro level and keep developing throughout college.
Greg, I don't know how much you have looked into the EIHL or how much you knew about it before you made the move. Over the last sort of, well, fair to say, Simon, 6-7 years, the league has got a lot younger. And I think this has been driven by the Belfast Giants and the Friendship Four. There's so many guys now coming through college to this league rather than guys like, I'm not being disparaging because they were amazing when they were here, guys like Paddy Dwyer, Jim Vandermeer, guys at the end of their careers coming for maybe some college, get their masters, one or two more years. But these are young guys now putting themselves in the shop window for maybe jobs in Europe or going back to North America. Have you referenced the AHL at all, or do you know of other guys playing in it bar your Providence alumnus?
Yeah, definitely. Just I looked into this league a little bit, and it seems like definitely a good league for me to get some opportunity and get some solid playing time. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I think it's getting better and better over the years. So I think it'll be a really good league to be able to develop. And definitely Like being a little bit younger, there's a lot of options on the table. So I think it's a really good stepping stone where I can continue to build in Belfast the following year or take another step in Europe or end up going back to North America. So it's definitely a really, really solid place I'm in right now. And I'm just looking to take this year and see how it goes after that.
How much of a little carrot was the CHL dangled in front of you? Is that something that interests you, playing 5 games across Europe?
Yeah, that was huge. That was one of the biggest things me and Coach Kiefer talked about, just being able to, for myself individually, measure myself against those kind of players and get to travel a little bit and play in some of those really big games. And they're going to be really exciting for the fans. And just to measure as a team, because I know we play a couple of those games before our regular season even starts. So if we can get off to a good foot about against those teams, it can really propel us through the rest of the season, give us a lot of confidence. So I'm looking forward to those games, and it was definitely a huge selling point for me.
And what's the next couple of days or weeks just before you land into Belfast going to be like for you? You're back on the ice. You're doing a bit of off-ice training. What's going on for you?
Yeah, been working out and skating every day. We have a pretty good pro group down here. So I actually have to drive up to Boston tomorrow and get all my visa stuff done. So that won't be too much fun. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think I have 2 weeks left. So I'm just trying to embrace it and spend some time with my family and my fiance before I head off to Belfast.
Is she going to be able to make a trip across during the season?
Yeah, I think she actually already has 4 different dates set out. So she's really excited too, but she's going to stay back in Boston and work, but she'll come and visit and support all of us as well. So
lovely. Well, look, Greg, we're really looking forward to having you at Belfast. Looking forward to catching up with you really soon. And enjoy the next couple of weeks. Have some great time with the family and safe travels. And we'll catch up with you this side of the water.
Awesome. Sounds good. Can't wait to meet you guys. Thank you very much for having me.
All the best. Cheers, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
See ya.
Kitchy, another young guy to the roster and exciting talent.
Yes, mate. Again, Adam, George and Nace especially have been meeting 3 times, 4 times a week. They have looked at so many players. They've done their homework. They literally, they're in the room probably 5-6 hours at a time as well. It's hard to get rid of them sometimes. You probably have to turn the lights off. But, you see what the effort goes into it. You don't, when I was, before I started working within the organization, over the last couple of years, we knew that there was conversations. We knew that how much work that you're on video call an awful lot of the time. But the communication with, as say, Adam, Mace, George, and obviously Stewie's there as well, and Steve, the communication that they have to get the level that they're at is, that you just don't realize how much work goes into it. So, that's another important cog to add to the system. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he has to offer. I've watched a bit of video on him over the last couple of days when we found out that he was coming on board and spoke to Cons, and Cons says he's a really good player as well. So, you played the last 3 years in the AHL. You don't, there's not many players come from the AHL directly to the AHL anymore. So, I'm looking forward to really what Steve has to offer.
Let's just talk to somebody who might know a little bit then, somebody who might have been doing a little bit of scouting and chatting about these players. You referenced them just a minute ago. Absolutely delighted to see him back in Belfast. He took a year out of hockey, but he's back. Welcome back to Jeff Mason.
Gentlemen, how are you?
How's things, Jeff?
Good. Things are good. Let's enjoying this beautiful weather we've been having in Northern Ireland.
Listen, obviously went away last year and did a year behind the bench. You're sort of your own gig in Dundee. Whilst it mightn't have been the ultimate success that you wanted in terms of hockey results, it was always going to be a difficult gig going to Dundee, but you must have learned a lot about yourself and about the game. You're bringing those things back to town.
Yeah, definitely. Learned some things that worked, learned some things that didn't work, got to see things from kind of a different point of view and a different, you've been in one place for so long, you only know kind of one way of doing things. And, you get to see how some things are done other places. And, certainly was a good experience, good learning experience, certainly, better for it. Family and I are happy to be back here in Belfast and looking forward to the season starting.
Mia Zavora, I said how great it is to have you back. When you're looking at the Dundee Stars last year, we've obviously managed to get one of their players. Tell us a wee bit about Elijah Bariga.
Brieg is a great guy, great player, good person. I think he'll fit in with the culture here and how things are done. And you know, he's a good kid, that really nice kid, and he wants to be a hockey player. He's one of the first guys on the ice. He's one of the last guys off the ice. He competes. He battles hard. You know, played through injuries last year at times, and was certainly you know, did some really good things on the ice, and it, you know, was a player that I relied on, you know, heavily in all situations, and really excited for him to have the opportunity to play in Belfast and see what he can do here. And you know, happy that he's coming along, and you know, hopefully, like I said, I think he's a player that fits right into the culture and how things go here. And you know, as a, you know, former college teammate on the roster as well. You know, and those guys that come from AIC, that's a great program. The coach there, Eric Lang, has done a great job and built the championship culture there and a winning culture year on year. You know, and hopefully he'll, you know, I think he'll come and fit in very well.
Mace, I don't know if you caught the tail end of the chat we're having with Greg Prince there, but we were referencing that over, I'll say, the last 7 or 8 years anyway, the league has changed and somewhat led by Belfast in the Paddy Dwyers, the Jim Vandermeers that were coming here for one last sort of go at hockey, are more or less being replaced by these U Sports, the NCAA guys, the guys coming through the college system at the start of their career, and they're hitting the AIHL in their early 20s now rather than mid-30s. Steve Thornton, when he came along, you know, speed kills. You've got to recruit speed, and that's the way the game's going now. You've got to recruit speed. You're looking at that roster this season, there's some absolute speed merchants in that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've, you know, focused on this summer. And if you look at the league year on year, the players that have success and do well are players with speed. So, you know, certainly that is one of the things that we're looking for in players and trying to bring people in. And, it, you know, the speed of the game, you know, is incredible. And you start bringing in these younger players and the levels they've been playing at, you know, it's really something to watch. I mean, sometimes I watch the NHL now and I think, man, it is so fast, you know, and every level, the speed at every level has increased. So, you know, it is a thing, you know, when I first came over here, it wasn't, you weren't getting a lot of guys straight out of college. There was no such thing as rookies in the EIHL. They were maybe rookies to the EIHL, but they weren't, you know, very unheard of to see rookies. And now it's very commonplace, kids coming over here. And a team like Belfast that's had a lot of success bringing guys in, developing them, and then them moving on to, you know, to top tier European leagues, I think is one of the things that started that.
Well, just before you go there, Simon, on that point, is that one of our selling points when we're going? The guys are saying, like, there's an opportunity. You come to Belfast, obviously a successful franchise. You have an opportunity. We can put you in the European window. We can put you in, you know, back in America in higher leagues than you're maybe potentially going at the minute. Is that something you actively sell to these guys?
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest selling points for Belfast, aside from, you know, all the success that the team has had on the ice and aside from how great the city is and how much guys love it, is how much success we've had and how many guys have come here and gone on to bigger and better things. And, you know, though we know how great a place it is to play here, there are other places in Europe where, you know, the leagues are better or you can make more money. And so, you know, this is a job for guys and that's on guys' mind. And so these, you know, a lot of these younger players that we're recruiting that are using this as they want to come here and do well and have success and hopefully see it lead to bigger and better things. So it's absolutely, you know, we sell not only the success of the team and how well we've done over the years, but also, you know, how many guys have gone on to, you know, to other contracts and other European leagues.
Mace, when you look at the provenance, the connection with provenance now, obviously yourself, Cons, Jeff Baum, and now Greg Prince, who was just announced there now. I mean, there's four Friars that could probably get you a job in my mate's chip shop on the Castlereagh Road, Richie's. You know, yeah. I was waiting for that when I told you that earlier. But the you know, the connection there, and obviously it must be good for you to have these kids coming from a background where you know and what sort of how well they're treated over in Providence as well.
Yeah, and I think Nate Lehman and his staff at Providence, I wasn't fortunate enough to play for them. Obviously, they came along after me, but have done wonders with that program and made it a national power. And the amount of Friars that are playing in the NHL and you know, pro throughout North America and Europe is a testament to how good of a job they've done. You know, over the last probably 10 years, they redeveloped their facilities. They put a ton of money into making sure they had the top level, you know, facilities and upgraded the rink and all kinds of things. And, you know, sad to say all that stuff happened after I was there. You know, as an alumni, it certainly makes you proud. And I think one of the great things about Providence is they also, you know, obviously I have a connection there and, you know some people there and have some connections that way, but they've been a Friendship Four team, and teams that come over and play in the Friendship Four is a massive boost for us, because you know, these kids come over, they play in this tournament, they see how great it is, they see how well things are done here, and we get players that are reaching out to us because they know how good it is and they've been to the city and they really want to come and play here. So you know, certainly I love the fact that they're Friars. I can't say I have a lot to speak to them about, because I think almost everything's changed since I've been there. I wouldn't know the names of any of the bars or anything that's happened since I've been there. But it's, you know, as an alumni, it's great to see guys going on and having success and doing well. And, you know, they're coming from a program that we know has done well and had success. And we get to see them, you know, firsthand when they came over and played in the Friendship Four, and you see the level that they're at. So, you know, certainly a, you know, all good things, but always nice to see more Friars come over here.
Just one thing, and I've only just noticed that, the antlers are really, really suit you, mate.
You like that?
Yeah, no, just the way your head is sitting there, it was looking really well. There's yeah. Right on your head. Look, I've seen how hard you guys are working, every week. You have a meetings 3-4 times a week. How do you think the team's looking out from who's been signed so far?
I think it's looking good. I think we're quite pleased with it. I heard your little bit there, and I think that's one thing that, you know, that people maybe don't understand, the amount of time and effort and work that goes into putting together a team. And you know, certainly we're very fortunate the number of people that we have doing it. You know, if you get things right in the summer, it makes the season, you know, I don't want to say easier, but it gives you a fighting chance. So if you can, you know, the more things you get right in the summer, the better you do in recruitment, obviously, you can hit the ground running. And so we've got a big advantage in the amount of guys we have doing it, but it is a lot of time and effort and speaking to as many people as you can. And there's a lot more video now that you can watch on guys. So you can really see, do plenty of homework on people, and you know, sometimes you do lots and lots of work and watch lots and lots of tape and speak to lots and lots of people on guys you know are probably never going to come, but that's just part of that, that's just part of it, and being prepared. And sometimes you do a lot of work on guys and they don't come that year, but you get them the following year or a couple years down the road. So it's certainly never wasted.
You know, Mace, I'm sure I'm one of a massive crowd of people that's really, really delighted to see you back in Belfast. And listen, well, thank you very much for your time tonight. We'll let you get back to the piano there. And
I'll rip a few tunes out before I go to bed.
See you later, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, Mace.
Says, before we go on, just up above you, give that another wee plug there, up there. Tell people what that's all about.
Yeah, that's basically for raffle. We have a brilliant prize up for grabs. It's a trip for two people to Boston for 3 nights to include a Boston Bruins game. It doesn't have to include the hockey. If you want an extra night instead of the hockey, we'll pay for it for the hotel. That's absolutely fine. Get yourself a 4-night trip potentially to Boston for a fiver at least. Buy a ticket. You're supporting a fundraising effort which we have up here for Get Blake to Boston. So every little helps. I've already said it for Tesco. I'm expecting Tesco to be in contact with us to see if we can give us a few quid as well. But that's really appreciative. So hopefully you guys can support us in any way. And if you can't do that one, we also have a GoFundMe page to just whatever you can donate is very, very, very much appreciated.
Just hold your smartphone up to the screen above Simon's head there. It'll take you straight to the raffle page. £5 if you've got it. Win 3 nights in Boston, flights, accommodation, tickets to the Bruins for a fiver. Simon, let's move on. Absolutely another guy waiting in the wings here. And, you know, we've said it time and time again over many, many years now. There's no show without Punch. There's no hockey without Deco. Deco, welcome back.
Turn around, Deco.
Does that work?
Amateur move, mate. Amateur move.
You can see the dog now.
Hello. Hello.
What's the doggy called?
This is Nala.
Oh, so, that's like... Oh, no, everybody's got Lion King or Land of Wits in Order or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't name her. She was we adopted her from my friend, and yeah, he named her. So, or his daughter named her, I think, and that's exactly what it's from. Yeah, so the Lion King, I think. Yeah,
yeah. Deco, the organization kept us waiting with bated breath over the summer. Finally, we got the deal across the line, and you're back for another year and tail.
Yeah, I mean, I kept them waiting too. So, no, there was just a few things. Nothing, you know, to do with like waiting out or a whole night for it. There was just a few things in the background that we wanted to try and do, and we didn't know if we could do that until quite recently. So, it's all good. And the team were very, very supportive and helpful of getting it done. Basically, I wanted to try and get on the uni program. So that's basically what I was pushing towards. So we were just waiting to see if that would happen. And it looks like it probably will. So here I am. So even if it didn't go full steam ahead like that, I probably would have been involved anyway. Coming whenever I could, or just being like an emergency guy or something along those lines. So I don't think you'll ever fully get rid of me. So.
Let's drill into that ever so slightly. What is it you'd like to do at uni? Is it the standard, you know, masters that the guys are doing in sports, or what is it you want?
No, it used to be MSc sports management, but that course actually closed. So some guys would have done that, and then some guys would have done the MBA, and then Mark Cooper last year done the executive MBA. But those guys, some of those guys have, you know, if you ever look at their hockey CV, you'll notice things like Harvard, Princeton, Brown, Union, all these, you know, universities that they've went to over in the States and Canada. So a lot of them have undergrads. So it was a little different here because I sort of came straight in to playing hockey at 18. I could have went to uni, but I never did. So this is a good opportunity for me to do it while we have a good partnership with, we had the options of LaSalle and University of Ulster. So yeah, it looks like it's going to be MSc management, all doing well. So, I mean, it'll be a busy year with work, hockey and university, but I'd be really looking forward to it.
Let's go back to the hockey then. It was a pretty successful season for your Belfast Giants, and then obviously you had your international duty at the end of the season. It must be a pretty satisfying time to be a hockey guy.
Yeah, especially on the Belfast Giants end of it. I mean, we couldn't have done much better, I don't think. And then, yeah, well, the Ireland thing, you know, maybe didn't go our way this year, but, you know, we'll keep going. We'll get there eventually. It's development cup, so development is the word that we're using. Sisson knows all about that. You know, it's important that we do our thing and we develop players here. And you know, I'm coming towards the very back nine of my career. So it's important for the guys coming through that they have somewhere to play because there's not a lot of places to play in Belfast. So, yeah, but in terms of the Giants, I mean, yeah, brilliant year last year. Everything went our way and I think can't really argue with that. And whenever I see other fans around the league, it looks like we're the ones to be shot at again this year.
Deco, it brings me on to a really good segue to get us in there. You know, when you look back at 13 years now in Belfast for you and you look at the amount of players that you've played with, teammates and obviously coaches that you played under. You've seen the roster you know, that we've signed this year. A lot of new faces in, which, again, you're used to that. Is there anybody sticking out for you, or is anybody that you're maybe looking forward to seeing what they can get up to?
No, I was going to say you never know who you're getting. That's not true. The guys do a lot of work on who they're recruiting. I'm not privy to it. You know, I'll hear, we maybe talked to this guy or we've signed this guy. I believe you made the announcement tonight for Prince, right? So I heard of that one there a wee while ago. But the one, it's nice to see, you got up on the screen there, some of the returning names: Jackson Whistle, Beskar Owane. A big one was Mark Cooper. I was really, really happy to see him coming back. I think he just does everything the correct way. Same with Ben Legg. Those are guys you know you can really count on night in, night out, and they're going to be a huge part. And then obviously our Brits as well, Garside, Longer, great guys. You know, we've started being here for a while, know the city. So, and then it's exciting to meet new people. I mean, as you said, you touched on it, happens all the time, every couple of years. You know, especially when you have the amount of success we have. You know, guys get good offers, and it's understandable, and you can't begrudge them going somewhere. It's a short career, so yeah, it'd be exciting to meet these new guys and see what they're like. And yeah, it's an exciting time.
What have you been up to during the summer?
Sorry, David.
Working. So, yeah, working every day. So
much.
I've been going to the driving range a lot as well. And going on the course a wee bit there as well. So, I'm looking after a dog for a wee bit too. But yeah, mostly working. It's been busy enough. I work at the SSE, if you don't know. So I'm sort of facilities team. So. Right now there's a lot of work going into a few things around the rink that will hopefully improve the game night experience, and I know that there's a few things going on that are going to improve the experience for the players coming in. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm sure it'll be a little bit of a surprise, maybe a bit of a reveal at the time. So, but just the way our organization works, it never really sits still. It's always looking to progress, always looking, how can we do something better, what can we do? So I think it's one of the markers that stand us out in the league.
I was walking out of the arena today, walking across the traffic. I sent the car park to get in the car, and I just hear this, "Says!" I'm looking around me going, they're shouting at me. Deco standing on the roof of the building, shouting out, absolutely rocking.
Yeah, I know. So I was allowed to be up there. I wasn't up there skiving when I got there. So yeah, but as I said, yeah, it's going well. I mean, they're doing a lot of work, so pretty exciting time actually. For the organization.
Deco, with such a good season last season, you're always going to lose people to retirement, to other teams within Europe, maybe back to North America. And you've referenced a couple of guys that came back in Mark Cooper, Ben Lake, I saw Gary, yourself. How important is it to keep like a nucleus so whenever guys come in, they get explained to them what's expected of a Belfast fan? What's Belfast like? You know, take them to some of the sights and sounds, get them on golf courses, integrate them and make them Belfast Giants.
Well, it starts from Mace, Kiefer, George, probably Steve as well. Whenever they're recruiting guys, I believe they send out a little bit of a package, an information package. This is, you know, Belfast, this is the things you can expect. This is the sort of, you know, tell them the truth as well. This is the weather. This is our arena. This is our past success. If you're in the golf, there's that. So you know, they try and sell them the city as well, which is a good sell because, you know, maybe I'm biased being from here, but, you know, if you're top up the places to play in, the places we live in as a team, hard to beat, you know. I know some of the cities around the league are pretty good, but Belfast's hard to beat, so it is. They look after the players pretty well. But then, yeah, you're talking about returning players. I mean, you know, if you're a brand new dressing room, maybe the guys who come in don't understand that the league is our big one over here. It really is. So, you know, there's no nights off, there's no easy games, and then you're trying to explain to guys what the Challenge Cup is, because it's more of a football concept, really. If you look at it, there's no Challenge Cups back in a lot of these leagues, so you're trying to explain to them, and that's a big night, that's a banner, if you can win it. So just setting the tone, and then also, as you touched on as well, what's expected of a Giant. You know, there is inductions, people like Sizzle come in, people like Laura will come in and explain what we do in the community, guys like yourself putting the word out. So, yeah, it is drummed in pretty quick, and, you know, maybe some guys, you know, you would hear it, but I think by Christmas, everyone really does understand what it is to be a Belfast Giant, how privileged it is. So, yeah, I mean, it helps the players, but it's a whole organisation thing the whole way down. It just filtered in.
Deco, how many sticks do you break this year? Because it didn't seem like an awful lot.
No, you see, the puck has to hit the stick for it to get damaged. No, I didn't because... Well, maybe I'm maturing, I doubt it, but it's Taft has his eye on me. He knows what I'm up to. So no, I didn't break that many. So why do you want one?
I would love one, mate. Absolutely. Same. I'll stick it out and beside my hot tub would be brilliant. Thanks very much.
But no.
I just want to ask you one last question. You know, you play with Kiefer for seven seasons. And now, you know, he's getting into his sixth season as a coach when you look at COVID. Isn't that right? Six seasons now? Six seasons.
Yeah.
How's he changed?
He's got grayer hair. He's got a little heavier. But no, he's probably a better coach. You know, I thought, you know, he won his first year, so he hit the ground running, which is fantastic and probably good for him, you know, give him a lot of confidence. You know, in those first couple of years, he still had a lot of guys in the team who he played with. And that's probably, you know, as a coach, not the easiest thing because you have to find that right balance. So now, you know, whenever guys are coming in, they don't see him as Kiefer, our mate, the player. You know, they see him as Kiefer, the coach. So there is a little bit of a different relationship. So I do think that having George and Mace there has been a big help as well. I think some of our coaches in the past have particularly player coaches, have struggled whenever it comes to, you know, it's just all on them. They've nobody to talk to. They've nobody to lean on. They've no other set of ears or even someone just to, you know, bounce opinions off or to vent to whenever, you know, we're not having a good time. It can be a very stressful job. But in terms of systems and things like that, I always think he was pretty switched on. You know, I would give him a lot of stick back in his playing days about maybe not knowing the systems too well. But he certainly knows them as a coach. And I think he's always looking to develop. And, you know, it's very easy to say that Sheldon could, you know, show him or teach him a thing or two, which is obviously true. And I'm sure he does lean on Sheldon for things, but I think he's very much his own man. And I think he always has been. So, no, I think he's continuously improving as a coach. And I mean, numbers don't lie. Look at the amount of trophies he's won, you know, in the last couple of years. So long may it continue.
Maybe just Simon Sheldon leans on Kiefer. Who knows? But just on the other way around, just as you're saying there, I wonder how important it is that Adam came through and Robert Fitzpatrick calls it the boot room, if you like. You know, at the minute we've got George Wada, Jeff Mason, Rob Stewart, you know, who's been here forever, Adam Keith that have came through. When Doug Christensen came in, yeah, he had a bit of an understanding of the league, but he maybe didn't know what it meant to be a Belfast Giants. Derek Walser parachuted in here, didn't really know very much about the league or the British players within the league. Came, did his thing and went on, wasn't all that successful. But, you know, Adam hit the ground running with success because he knew what it meant, and that's what I'm kind of getting at with my previous question.
Yes.
It's so important that guys understand what it is to be a Belfast Giant, and Kiefer obviously gets that and puts that into his players.
Yeah, and then you can see, I think if you look at the players who have went down sort of as legends or whatever, or you know, notable players over there, they are the guys that have fought in the most into being Belfast Giants and you know, put a lot into the community. And I don't know if it's just because we're like quite a hard-working city and there's been divides and things like that, but you know, whenever the fans see a good hard-working player who's willing to go out there and stand up and be counted for, I think it resonates with them. So I think that buys them a little bit of leeway as well. So I think Kiefer could go, you know, 10-0 at the start of the season, you know, touch wood, it never happens, and you know, no one would ever question him in terms of the fan base. And there's not a lot of that, and I think, as you said, that goes back to just how much the city means to him and how much being a Belfast Giant means to him. And then George was a great pickup. You know, obviously Jeff was over in Dundee for a year's work experience, but he certainly knows what it means as well. Married a local girl, George married a local girl, so yeah, they're guys, you know, who understood, and they're A's and captains, so fantastic.
Deco, you finished that last wee part off there with, you know, all the legends that have been around the club. And I know you don't look at yourself in that way, but we do. We absolutely think you're magic, mate. You're a massive part of this club over the last 13 years. I see how, you know, you're one of the first guys on the ice. You're one of the last guys off the ice. I know that all the boys in the room appreciate your efforts. And we appreciate you giving us your time here on a Thursday night. I know it's you're up early for work every day now as well, so having to do, you know, a bit of work during the summer, which is probably not what you're used to. But listen, we really appreciate
you wouldn't
time,
know
mate. What?
You wouldn't know much about it.
Okay, mate, I'm not complaining about it. You know, I'm looking forward to my next holiday at the end of September. But yeah, we really appreciate you. We really, really appreciate your time. And I'll probably see you tomorrow at some point.
Yeah, no, any time, of course. We appreciate what you guys do as well. It's our link to the fans. So, yeah, no, I'll probably see you tomorrow. What time did you leave? You're leaving about 3:00 today. So maybe if you want to stay a little longer tomorrow, that'd be great.
I think your time is about 3:20 today. And just for the information, if anybody else is watching from Phonocab, I didn't leave at all 3:20. That's a Phonocab day today, so I wasn't there. It was yesterday you seen me.
Yesterday it was, true.
Thank you. So, get your dates right. Are you still here? Switch him off, buddy.
Right. No, thank you very much. See you later in the summer, mate.
You're welcome.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Such a top lad. Like,
I'm what's that, 13 years now, Simon, am I right in saying, with the club, you know, so like, when you look at it, you know, you've got Kiefer and you know, as we said, Stewie, Adam, George, Mark Garside, guys that are just have been here forever, get what it means to be a Belfast champ. But listen, one last...
I have a question for you, Davey.
Oh, go on.
This,
oh, no.
You're going to have to go and get this information. See, when you look at the coaching games amount behind the bench, Adam, Mace, George now last season with, as a bit of chance, and Stewie over the last 23 years, how many games have the coaching team got behind that bench, the Belfast Giants? Take a guess.
Oh, my goodness. Just the current coaching team behind it?
Kiefer, well, George, I mean, alone,
George has only really been behind the bench just over a season.
75 games.
Yeah, Stewie probably has at least 500 games behind the bench.
How many?
Five or 600.
That's more than that, David.
Stewie?
That's been more than that. He's been behind the bench the last 10 years, more or less.
Aye, but he went away. Well, yeah, well, 50 games a season. I'm saying 500 games, 10 years.
When was the last time he played 50 games a season? He played 72 or something last year.
I'll look it up.
I'm just asking you to give us a guess.
Next of you from the bridge. All right, then, 2,500 games. I don't know.
I don't think that's far off the mark. I really don't.
Anyway, we'll work that out and... We'll tell you next time on A View from the Bridge. But listen, one guy who is also, I don't know whether I can do this or not, one guy who has also been, give me a wee minute. Fill for me there. You know what I'm looking for here.
Do you want me to do any other business now before we go into this?
Have you got any other business? Oh, I'll find it, by the way. That's okay. But let's do any other business. Sorry, Paddy, if you're watching. Apologies. We're not as smooth as you.
No, thanks, Paddy. I do, in all fairness, Paddy, we are missing you. Genuinely, I know Davey's doing a great job, but we are missing you. Dylan and Graham are on their way to the Transplant Games. Best of luck, boys. I hope you smash it out of the park. It'll be really brilliant, whatever you get up to over there. We announced our golf day for the OSC. It's on the Monday of the 11th of September. There's only about 6 or 7 spots left as it sits right now. Really looking forward to getting out there. I think we've got a couple of ex-players coming back. We've got the coaching staff. I think it's about 13 or 14 players who are golfers. There's a couple of guys who, you know, it's not fair to ask them to come and swing a golf bat if they don't play it. So they'll maybe be there for a drink or something, but on Monday afternoon. But we'll wait and see where we get to. Hopefully you and Paddy are coming over for it as well. I said to you a couple of times, and I know you still haven't booked your flights yet, but see what you can get done. And the last one is wee Dahi as well. And Dahi, I know he was in the hospital. We are thinking about you. We hope you're okay, wee man. I know I've seen a poster the other day that, you know, he's doing really well. So great to see him. I had lunch with him a couple of weeks ago, him and his dad and Laura over in next door in the Odyssey Place. So great to see you. Hopefully you're going to be okay in the next couple of days and weeks. And we're still thinking about you all. And again, so especially all the kids that are coming along and are having tough times. And I just can't wait for the season to start now. I mean, I know I keep on saying, oh, that's only around the corner, and it is only around the corner, but I've missed a lot of people. It's just, you know, you usually see them every game, and people coming up and asking you how things are, and you know, what do you think about this and that and the other. So really looking forward to getting back.
Well, Simon, obviously one of the big things that happened over the last 6 months was the coronation of King Charles III. And one of the first things he did was give his favourite hockey player an award. And here we are, delighted to be joined by, I'm not going to say an old face, but an old friend of you from the bridge. And this time by royal appointment. It's great to have you on, Colin.
Thanks, Davey. Always good to be a guest. A pleasure to see you again.
Well, obviously, this little chat, just the last time we were podcasting, the news was just breaking, so we didn't have time to get you on. The news breaking that it's now Colin Shields, member of the British Empire.
Yeah, thanks. It was a bit of a surprise. Wasn't expecting it. Didn't really know what to think when I got the letter. I thought it was almost a joke someone was playing on me. But it was definitely an honor, and was excited to, you know, get recognition. I wasn't really, as I say, expecting that, or, you know, never sort of out to get that kind of recognition. But it was nice to be recognized for sort of, you know, services to ice hockey, and you know, everything I've done sort of in the game and outside the game as well.
When you look back, we talk towards the end of your career when you're on A View from the Bridge a bit more often, we talked about what records and that kind of thing meant to you. And it was all very much team first, but that you would probably get time after your career to reflect on how your career went, personal milestones, team milestones. And you look at guys like, there's very, very few within the ice hockey community. Tony Hahn's the only one that sort of strikes off the top of my head that has royal honours. You know, it must be pretty cool to add that to the list of achievements.
Yeah, as I said, never something that was even on my radar or something I expected. Tony's was an amazing player, an amazing ambassador to the game for such a long time. And, you know, I got a message from him congratulating me too. So it was definitely a surprise and I was really excited to get it and didn't really know what was in store next as far as what to do. And, you know, when the announcement came out, I think it was on a Saturday. I can't remember, maybe a Saturday. And the amount of messages and texts and Facebook and Instagram messages I got, I actually couldn't believe that because it came out the night before. I think the BBC put it out. And I got a few maybe because it was quite late, maybe at 11 o'clock. And I was like, oh, that was nice. Like, you know, kind of a big deal as far as that goes. And then the next day, I think I was golfing and I literally couldn't. I think I had to turn my phone off because it was just like going crazy. There was so many messages. So definitely thanks to everyone that sent me a message or reached out after it.
That's a nice little touch as well, just to know that people still really care and people are still engaged with your career.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like forever ago since I retired, 4 years now, but it seems like so much longer. But yeah, I just kept in touch with a lot of, you know, players and people like that, and also kept in touch with a lot of fans. So it was definitely nice to hear from a lot of different people from different places I played over the years.
And what's the next stage? When do you go get your award or medal or whatever way it's done?
I got a letter saying I would get a 6-week warning. So a 6 weeks heads up to make some standalone plans, some travel plans. But yeah, I'll have to figure that out once it comes through. But yeah, give me a 6-week warning to sort of arrange some things to get there.
And how's things at TPF? How's the golf? How's the handicap going?
Golf's going terrible, but things at TPF are going well. Business is good, trucking along. So need to get the golf game back in order. But got a couple of trips coming up here in the next couple of months. Hopefully, at least my big handicap will help for those trips. Try and make some money here.
And I know that you keep your finger on the pulse of the Belfast Giants still from time to time, you know, commentating on the TV and that kind of thing. Only a few weeks now to the CHL kicks off. Guys will be coming in over the next few weeks and you know, that preseason camp, getting themselves tuned up for the part of the season. Is this something that you're able to completely detach yourself from now? You don't miss it at all? Or is this the time of year where the juices start flowing and, you know, the players coming back into town, it gets that bit of excitement in the belly again?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. And the first year I retired, it was a little bit different, you know, 2019-20 there. You know, especially with the COVID and the season being cancelled. So the first half of that year was kind of exciting. Went to some games and kept pretty close. And then, of course, the next season being cancelled. And the first season back, didn't make it through a ton of games. But obviously being involved last year with Viaplay and doing the TV stuff, I sort of was following a lot more of the games, watching a lot more on TV and on webcasts, which was kind of nice to get back involved a little bit into the game. And to be around the rinks again and see a lot of friends and players on other teams and coaches and stuff. So it was good last year to sort of be involved a little bit more. I'm not sure what capacity, you know, that'll be this year, but, you know, I made it to a lot more Giants games last year just as a fan and got to enjoy the other kind of social side of it and have a few beverages as such at quite a few of the games. So it was good. It was good to watch the game from that perspective, but also from the broadcast booth too with Murph. But yeah, this is always an exciting time of year. I think if you're a player, the summer seems kind of good at the start. It's nice to be off and nice to get a little break from hockey. Then you start training. Then you start to get back on the ice as the summer goes on. And then you just kind of want training camp to get started. You're excited to see your teammates, your friends, to get back on the ice as far as like a game capacity. It's okay training the summer. You get used to it. But until you get into kind of that August time and you want to get back on with your team and get back out there and play in front of the fans.
Well, listen, I know that you've got a client just waiting to get going in the gym there. So I'll not keep you too much longer. But as you always often sign off on a tweet, we'll hopefully see you at the rink. And I don't know, do we like salute you now or something?
Just call me sir, that'll be fine.
All the best, Sheds. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Davey. Cheers.
You're on mute. You're still on mute.
I just don't know
how to take it. We are live, David. We are live.
I just don't know how to take it all, Simon. It's a 2021 again, or COVID, 2020, whenever that was. Still haven't learned how to use it. But Sheds, you know, we talked very briefly on the last podcast, so we'll not overplay it there. Nice interview with him. He's delighted to be honoured by the King.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's do you know what? It's really good for the sport. It's great for Colin, obviously, but it's really good for the sport. You know, ice hockey in the UK has been, it's been ignored, in my opinion. There's, you know, when you look at, it's been great having Viaplay over the last couple of years, Premier Sports before that. But, you know, the likes of, we should be getting on Sky. So if you, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but you see the likes of all our minority sports all over Sky Sports and what have you, it's really annoying that we don't get the chance to get on there or live on BBC or UTV. You know, I'd love the opportunity to basically, you know, to see the Belfast Giants are on those channels on a regular basis. Our sport and our league is good enough to be on mainstream TV in the UK. Is it possible to do that? I don't know. Is it something that, you know, financially that, you know, the TV channels can put into the league or vice versa, Davey? I really don't know the ins and outs of it. But if there's anybody out there that can point us in the right direction to help get more hockey shown on TV at any level, whether it's EIHL, whether it's the NIHL, whether it's anything at all, you want to see more hockey on TV. And it would be great to try and get the opportunity to do that. But no idea what's going to happen with it.
Says, I know that... I believe that hockey is the biggest watched indoor sport in the UK. Yes. So it's something that should probably be on the TV a lot more. But listen, we're starting to ramble now. We'll bring this to a close. We've obviously had tonight. We want to say thank you to Andrew Dixon. Thank you to Jeff Mason. Thank you to Mark Cooper, who stopped on the way to his cottage. It was probably somewhere absolutely beautiful, no doubt, because the weather looked fantastic. Hope he has a great weekend up there. Thank you to Jeff Prince, the Fresh Prince of Belfast. So for anybody that didn't get to smell you later, you know, lyrics from the Fresh Prince, Greg Prince, Belfast Giants. Thank you to Simon for joining us. Thank you to Laura Small. You've got about one more minute to get on that raffle QR code, which we'll maybe stick up somewhere else. And thank you for everybody that donated. I know Laura came on earlier and said there had been over 50 raffle tickets bought tonight, which is another £200 towards getting our Blakey to Boston. So, you know, let's see what we can do. Much love to you all. But until the next time, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll see you next time. Oh, no, I've got to do this. Paddy will freak out if I don't. And we'll see you next time on A View from the Bridge.
Well done, David. Sports Social Podcast Network.